We have just 3 more weeks on this series. And then we will publish all of the talks that were given on this series this year, just as we have published the talks on the other 2 series. If you read all of the volumes, you'll get a B.S. degree, a Bachelor of Sheen. Inasmuch as we're coming to the close of the series, I've been a bit concerned about what to do with my angel Gabriel during the summer. One proposal was to go to programs where they have weathermen because they use blackboards. And he went to the weathermen and they said no, they couldn't use him because they never made a mistake. They didn't need any erasing. And then another idea that I had for him was that possibly he might go to some of these murder shows that are showing on television because they run out of suspects and he might come in handy. And then another final suggestion that I made to him was that he hire out to the medic to collect for the operations that are performed on television. He also could walk the floors with expectant fathers. They could become fraternity brothers. Inasmuch as we're to talk of Russia tonight, I must tell you that my angel flew over to Russia the other day. And it was just at the time that Bulganin had invited a peasant in from Ukraine. And he was explaining to this peasant, who represented the farmers of Ukraine, that Russia had invented the radio. And he said to him, now you see this machine here, we are practically the masters of the world. And whatever you say here is carried out to the entire world. Would you like to say something? And the Ukrainian farmer was about to step up to say something. My angel whispered to him what to say. And the Ukrainian farmer shouted, help! Our discussion tonight is religion in Russia. And we are concerned with 2 questions. First, have the communists changed their attitude toward religion? Secondly, has religion made progress in Russia? First, has communism changed its attitude toward religion? The answer must immediately be in the negative. Now, in order to understand the question, we will first of all discuss the theory of communism. Then something of the practice. This is the theory of communism as regards religion. According to Marx, religion is a superstructure based on a method of production, namely the ownership of private property. Now, just as the leaves and the branches come from the trunk and the roots, so too, according to Marx and communism, religion is born of private property. Private property and capitalism need religion, according to the communist theory, because they exploit the workers. And religion promises them pie in the sky. But the communists say, when you do away with all private property, and you have a socialistic system where everything belongs to the state, there's no more exploitation. There are no more injustices. And the result is that you no more need religion. Religion dies of itself. That is the communist theory of religion. Now, in practice, that means persecution, because communism cannot possess a man, body, and soul totally until it extinguishes the spirit, the soul, which has relations to God and which is the foundation of freedom. In practice, they certainly have persecuted. Here are the figures of religion when communism began in Russia in 1917. I'm speaking only of the Russian Orthodox priests because they are in the majority in the Russian Orthodox Church, not of the Catholics, not of any Protestants. In 1917, in Russia,
There were 57,000 Orthodox priests. There were 54,000 parishes.
In the strict sense of the term,
there were 100 million believers.
In 1908, communism took over all of the churches, began murdering and exiling the clergy, persecuting the faithful, established a militant society of the godless under Yaroslavsky, and boasted that in a few years there would be no more religion. 1936, there was a slight concession made. The Western world was protesting against the persecution of religion, and the Bolsheviks put out their constitution. Article 124 of which states that the Soviets recognized freedom of worship, that is to say, if they could find churches and so forth, but no propaganda. Propaganda through the press, through the radio and so forth, is reserved exclusively for atheism. That is Article 124. They had to make some concessions to religion because during World War II, 4 million Russian soldiers defected to the West. Stalin and Molotov received the Patriarch of Moscow an audience. The Russian propagandists in this country and elsewhere have attempted to create the impression that therefore Russia has changed in its attitude toward religion, particularly since there appeared in the New York press and in the newspapers of the United States, under the date of November the 11th, 1954, a few words of a decree of Nikita Khrushchev, who is the Secretary General of the Secretary General of the Communist Party. All that the American press carried of this decree of the Communist Party and its secretary was this, that the Communist Party does not want its atheistic propaganders to molest believers. That created the impression in America, oh, the Bolsheviks have changed. See, they no longer want the believers to be disturbed. They're in favor of religious freedom. It is a pity that our American press did not give the full story. We will give it to you tonight. This was the explanation of that order of Khrushchev. Namely, he said, we have discovered that the molesting and persecution of religion has only intensified religion. Maybe he read Tertullian. That the blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. Now let us see what was the background of this famous order. In order to understand it, we will go back to two articles that appeared in official Russian newspapers, which laid the foundation stone of this order. The first article appeared in Pravda. As you know, there are two important newspapers in Moscow, Pravda, which means truth, and Izvestia, which means news. The Russian people say there's no truth in the news, no news in the truth. Well, in the Pravda of July 24, 1954, there appeared an article on religion stating, one, Lenin said, religion and communism are incompatible. This doctrine must be reaffirmed. Two, atheism must be taught in all the schools in Russia, beginning with the elementary schools and continuing through the superior schools. Three, and this is an exact quotation, the Communist Party cannot tolerate the deplorable condition into which atheism has fallen. I always thought it was deplorable. Now they admit it. The second background article for the order of Khrushchev was this, an article that appeared in the Communist
under date of September 1954, number 13, and that particular article stated, during the war, many Russian citizens began going to church and took up religion, looking for peace in the midst of the afflictions of war. Atheistic propaganda declined. It must now be carried on with relentless energy. And then comes this astounding statement. How foolish we were to believe that religion, if left to itself, would die. You realize what this means? This is a complete repudiation of Karl Marx. Karl Marx says that religion is the superstructure of capitalism. When capitalism is done away with, there will be no more religion. There has been no capitalism in Russia since 1917. For 38 years they've done away with it. And now they say how foolish we were to believe that religion would die when there was no more private property. In other words, they have rejected Marx. Now we come back to the article of Khrushchev. Khrushchev did say the believers must not be molested. That is because Khrushchev was disturbed. Because the disturbing those who believed in religion merely intensified, as he said, religious prejudices. And then he added, and this is not only Khrushchev who's speaking. Remember, he's speaking as the Secretary General of the Communist Party of the World. And this is an official document. Khrushchev said, from now on, we will carry on propaganda in the schools, the farms, the industries. We will intensify atheism in all walks of life. But then he added, our propaganda will now be carried on the ideological level. That is to say, there will be a preaching and a propaganda concerning atheism. Some of these telecasts of mine, particularly when I talk about Russia, are used later and are sent to Russia. Will you excuse me a minute? I want to talk to Khrushchev. Khrushchev, let me tell you something. This is not a good idea of yours to wage war against religion on the ideological level, because you are now meeting religion on the ground of reason. Atheism can't stand up on that ground. If you put it on the grounds of reason, religion will conquer you. You'll be much wiser to go back to the method of Voltaire, who said he would mock it, but he would not argue with it. Reason is on the side of religion. And if you bring it out on that platform, Khrushchev, you're finished. And here's something else. Just as I pointed out that they're forgetting to read Marx in Russia, let me tell you, Khrushchev, you have forgotten your Lenin. You have forgotten your Lenin. You pick up Lenin's work on religion. The 1935 edition. It was published here in New York by the communists. And you will find a statement of Lenin. I'm quoting a verbatim. Lenin said, never will it be believed that The war against religion must be carried on the ideological plane. Why, Khrushchev, that's where you're saying. Imagine me reminding you of Lenin. Communists are frankly worried about religion. They have not changed their attitude. Now I want to show you that this order of Khrushchev stepped up the propaganda against religion, and here are some further evidences of that fact. The radio station Volga, which broadcast to the Soviet troops in the eastern part of Europe, reminded their leaders that atheism was on the decline, and there must be an intensification of atheistic propaganda among the soldiers. Two, the official publication of the Soviet Navy recently stated that many of the sailors on leave are going to church and taking their problems to God. There is a humorous magazine published in Russia called Crocodile. I don't know what it means. Maybe it's crocodile, is it? At any rate, it's Crocodile. And there was a serious article in there. And it stated that on one particular day, in one city, not a single bus could be found. Why? Because all of the buses were used to transport the Russian people to cemetery as on All Souls Day. The fact that you're worried is proven by the fact that you've opened 30 new anti-God museums. You have also reestablished the militant society of the anti-God under the name of the Society of Political and Economic Writers. There was a recent article that appeared in Pravda stating that you now had 345,000 members in the society. In the course of 10 years, they had given 3,245,000 conferences and had published 114 million pamphlets. You also stated in that same article in Pravda that you were very much disturbed about the decline of atheistic propaganda in Kazan, where 55% of the members of this atheistic society were doing nothing about atheism. Furthermore, we learned that you are disturbed because you changed the name of the society of the magazine Godless to Religion and Life, which is now carrying on anti-God propaganda. We also learned, too, from your representative here at the United Nations, who was very recently asked by a representative of another nation, if it were not true that 4 to 5% of the Russian people were attending church on Sundays, and this Soviet representative of the United States, of the United Nations said, yes, it is true, but we are watching that 4 or 5%. The 95% who do not go to church, we never have to worry about. But the 5 we do. Your literary gazette, published in Moscow, recently complained of a philologist who had become a canon of the Cathedral of Leningrad, of a physiologist who had given a lecture on the compatibility of religion and science. We also know of 3 articles that appeared in your young communist Pravda, beginning in July 1953. One was a letter of protest written by a father telling about his daughter Vera, 21 years of age, who was educated in the Soviet technical school and who was now going to enter the convent. We also read that protest of the Communist Party that in one certain city, not one single pamphlet among the 22,000 pamphlets against religion were taken down by the members of the Young Communist League. We also read a very interesting story in that same magazine, in that same newspaper, to the effect that the youth were not going to the Young Communist Club, but they were all going to join the church choir because all the communists had was a broken guitar. We also read in the same periodical, and this is interesting, I love this one, that the members of the Young Communist League were not attending propaganda lectures in the Young Communist Club. You protested in that magazine that they were going to church to hear a priest because he talked without notes. if they were scientifically advanced enough, they might have said two without a teleprompter on top of the lens. Now, the fact is, communism has not changed in its attitude toward religion, but religion is on the increase in religion in Russia. There are today about 6,000 Orthodox priests. There are 55 churches open in Moscow, 14 in Leningrad, 5 in Kazan, besides many houses of prayers. There are 2 academies of theology. There are 6 to 8 seminaries. There are 200 seminarians in the seminary of Moscow. There are 329 seminarians in the seminary of Leningrad. There are 19 professors. There has now been restored to the seminary of Leningrad 100,000 volume in theology and philosophy. In addition to that, recently the Patriarch of Antioch, when he visited Moscow, last Easter celebrated a 3-hour ceremony. Though he was 87 years of age, he stood in line outside of the cathedral for 4 hours as the faithful of Russia came up to kiss his ring. And he said to one of the Russian Orthodox priests there, "I'm exhausted." And this priest said, "You must stand, otherwise the people will be scandalized." Russia is preserving the faith, is rather better is renewing the faith. And if there's any story that illustrates what is now happening in Russia, it would be the story of the Arab and the camel. One night a camel came to the tent of an Arab, and he said to the Arab, "Mind if I stick my head in for the night?" "No." "Mind if I stick my right foot in for the night?" "No." "Mind if I stick my left foot in for the night?" "No." "Mind if I get my hump in?" "No," said the Arab. Camel got in. He said, "Now," to the Arab, "you get out." And that is what will happen to Russia. Some time ago, during the days of Julian the Apostate, in the early Christian centuries of martyrdom, Julian the Apostate began the persecution of religion. He went around the empire to see how this atheistic propaganda of his was prospering. He entered homes, he entered inns, he entered hotels and taverns. And finally, he came to the home of someone that he knew, a young man named Agathon. And he said to Agathon, "By the way, Agathon, whatever happened to that carpenter of Galilee? Does he have any jobs these days?" And Agathon answered, "Yes, he's building a coffin for you and for the Roman Empire." 6 months later, Julian the Apostate drove a dagger into his heart. Pulling it out, as he died, he threw the dagger into the heavens. The blood dripping from it shouted, "O Galilean, thou hast conquered." He always does, and he will, in Russia.